It's Saturday, April 15th, 2006, 10:06 a.m. on the central coast of California. Today, after a spot of geek news, we'll talk with the owner of a local computer shop, MC Squared, all about repair and purchase.
Geek Speak is a production of KUSP, Central Coast Public Radio, kusp.org. The bandwidth for geekspeak.org is provided by GNI, gnihosting.com.
Sit back and enjoy. It's time for Geek Speak. Welcome to Geek Speak, bridging the gaps between geeks and the rest of humanity. I'm your host, Lyle Troxell. Please keep in mind the views expressed during Geek Speak are not necessarily those of KUSP. Today, we will be joined by Timothy Marshall, President and CEO of MC Squared Computers, Inc. We'll talk a bit about the history and support of his company and supporting computers in general, things you got to look out for and what you need to do as a computer owner. During the second half of the show, I welcome you to join our conversation. The phone numbers are 476-2800, toll free at 1-800-655-5877. Or, of course, you can go to contact us now and get in the queue if you'd like. Go to geekspeak.org and click on contact us. I'll give out those phone numbers and that contact information again when I invite your participation in about half an hour. GeekSpeak is supported by Henry J. Ramirez, DDS in Santa Cruz, specializing in cosmetic and family dentistry, using digital technology for less radiation, and offering one appointment crowns and veneers. For appointments and more information, 423-2447. This is Geek Speak. My name is Lyle Troxell. Geeks, in the air with me, the geeks are Drew Meyer, Product Manager at Network Appliance, Miles Elam, Technical Trainer at Surf Control, Sean Cleveland, Technical Marketing Manager at NVIDIA, and Timothy Marshall, owner of MC Squared Computers. We'll be talking with Timothy about his business. And Timothy, if you'd like to join us during the news segment, you're welcome to do so. I'm going to start out the news today with Drew. Mr. Meyer.
Good morning, Lyle.
Oh, you must be on mic. You must be on mic 5 today.
Here we go. Nope,
that's no. How about... Just start talking.
All right.
Your beautiful voice.
Thank you. Phew. Thought I didn't exist. All right.
Yay,
so
Drew's here.
Amazingly enough, there's another article this week about the Enigma machine, the cipher kit that was used by the Nazis, the Nazi Navy in World War II. In case you missed the eBay auction that we talked about a few weeks ago, that where the, a real Enigma cipher machine sold for more than $30,000, you can now get your own, build your own kit from the Bletchley Park. Which is the British National Code Center. They're selling these kits for about $120 from their website. So if you've ever wanted to be
it's not a real piece of World War II history.
No. If you're a real aficionado, you can source
and
parts
besides, you
and
know,
scour
you,
the internet.
I bet there's a piece of software out there that does the same thing
as a matter
of any computer.
Yeah, but who wants
as a matter of fact, you can get the Enigma Simulator version 5.0 and download that for free.
There you go.
Very cool.
Really cool.
So if you're really into this stuff, it's out there. But I just had no idea. I'm kind of astonished. This is the third article that I've come across about the German Enigma machine in the last few months, I guess.
Yeah, I think maybe we should start like sending messages with Enigma machines while
maybe
the
we
software
should encrypt the entire show here, the broadcast,
and then most people won't be able to hear it. That would be good. All right,
hey, let's switch it over right now.
Miles, since you're talking, what's up, man?
NASA has launched a new site for kids. They call it their Kids Club. Features.
Do they have a Z on the end of that?
Actually, no.
I hate that. Okay, good.
In fact, they do the plural possessive perfectly well, too. KIDS apostrophe.
Right on. Congratulations, NASA.
But at any rate, it's...
Was that the news story?
It's a mostly flash-based site that's aimed at children in kindergarten through fourth grade. And it's a site that's meant to appeal to both the kids and their parents, as well as educators for that age group. And it teaches kids about exploring space, building and launching rockets, keeping airplanes on schedule, and how a comet travels through the solar system, things like that. The URL is fairly complex.
So. But you're going to edit the Geek Speak show
Yes, I am. Well, right now?
Right now, man. Right while Sean's doing the news, the next second, you're going to edit the site. So, what's the benefit of this site? You get kids interested in science?
Yeah, it's just immediately available. It's a site that they can go to that you know, if they're using the computer, it's something that is thoroughly educational, both for parents and for the kids.
Cool.
And, you know, it's actually kind of just aesthetically pleasing to look at.
All right, thanks, Miles. We're going to go on to Sean. Hi, Ms. Quigley.
Good morning. Hi, geeks.
Hey,
hi, everybody.
Sean.
So, there's been an announcement that Microsoft Vista will not... They're going to do some sort of a check to make sure that you have a full version. So there will be...
They're cracking down?
Yeah, just like they have now. You've got to... When you install it, you've got to get it, you know, validated. But they're doing a little different this time. It looks like you will have access to the basic functionality of Windows Vista, but if you want the fancy graphics, you're going to be denied if you pirate the software. So animated flips between open programs, live icons, the translucent windows, the flip 3D feature where you do the Windows tab key and your windows go skewed and they've kind of 3D flip between them, all those fancy features will be denied you if you don't own a full validated copy of the system.
Run applications on it?
Yeah, it's so, and they say otherwise it's going to be just like having Windows XP, which makes me think, is Vista just...
Who cares?
You know, graphics?
I'm a business user.
Is it the icing, you know?
Well, yeah. I don't understand. Hasn't Microsoft always kind of protected their software and
have
to pay for? Yeah. So what's different about this that they're gonna make it like two levels of difficulty to own it?
I think they've realized that there's no way they can stop the piracy. But perhaps there is a way they can deny... pirated versions, the premium features.
I think that makes no sense. I mean, for years they've been trying to stop people from installing pirated versions. You get hundreds of people install pirated versions all the time. So they're going to try to make two levels.
I think these are questions for Microsoft. And I've been in contact with them, and they're very interested in having a Vista expert on our show.
Okay, we'll do that then, because I'd like to know a little bit more about Vista. Sean, has anyone seen it run?
Yeah, I've played with it.
And do you like it?
I do.
Okay.
Yeah, it's kind of nice. It's very pretty. but you will need, you know, a little... There's more information that's been released as to graphics-wise what you're going to need to run this. And here's what I've learned. A computer with a single display of 1280 by 1024 or less must have at least 64 megs of graphics memory. For a larger screen, you may need upwards of 256 megs. And that's just memory that's built into your video card. Now, if you're using a video chip that's built into your motherboard and you're sharing it's using your system memory then for graphics, mm-hmm. you're going to need total system memory of at least a gig. And they're recommending dual channel memory.
This sounds like a price fixing from the memory companies and the video card companies, Sean.
Price fixing?
Well, that's not quite the right term. Let's see. Should we say... beating up the little guy?
I think what it comes down to is there are a lot of people who have really nice graphics hardware, and up to this point, it only gets used in games. And it's a shame. When you're working in Windows, you know, you don't need a high-end graphics card to do that. You know, if you're in the workstation side and you're doing Photoshop stuff, you do. But up to a point, you need more. It's more about CPU and memory.
Sure.
You know, it'd be really nice that for those people who spend the extra money to have access to those high-level features, but you know, not everybody needs those. You don't need to have this high-end graphics chip or more memory. That's only to run, you know, the premium graphics, the eye candy. So, you know, we'll talk to the Microsoft people and see what they say.
Okay, thanks, Sean. Drew, you had another story, man?
Yeah, that kind of rolls nicely into this interesting story about Sun, who yesterday they announced that they're working with the EPA to put together an energy specification for server equipment, which means one of the largest costs in IT infrastructure right now in these big rooms where you have lots of computers running all at the same time is air conditioning for cooling all of them. As well as the power consumption of the more intense processors. The faster your processor, the more electrons you got to shove through there. So Sun started a working group talking with the EPA and Lawrence Berkeley Labs to hammer out a standard. And I think the way this ties into what Sean was just talking about is the more RAM and more processing power on these video cards is going to make your machine run hotter, heat your room up, and cause a little more energy to be used. So it really won't affect us as consumers, but it's interesting that the Sun announcement shows critical mass in the IT, in the data center world about how this is really
energy
cost
conservation, really.
Yeah.
Great. Yeah. Thank you, Drew. Mr. Elam, I'm going to do one more story, and it's going to be yours, so hit us with your best shot, man.
Well, I'm going to switch over a little bit to some biology. Actually, it's been a pretty big week, especially for evolutionary science. There's been a 4 million year old skeleton or remains found in Ethiopia that has bridged that gap that has been a big talking point.
The walking
point.
Fish.
Well, people have been talking about how there's been this big gap, and so there hasn't been a link between the modern human and.
The human ape mix kind of thing.
Right. The Rift Valley. The Rift Valley in Africa has been a long-standing area where they've said there hasn't been much. There was a catastrophic event and no one found anything. Well, now they have, and so it's bridged the gap. The so-called missing link, or at least yet another missing link.
And is it a full skeleton?
No
skull. Or is this like a acetabulum? And they're like, oh yeah, from this hip we know that. You don't have enough of the information in front of you.
I don't have enough information in front of me.
You're supposed to be a geek expert. But in 5 minutes on Google, I bet you'd know it all. What's other evolutionary science?
For the first time, scientists have taken ancient genes from long extinct animals and being able to reconstruct the process that our DNA has gone through to get to either modern day animals or their precursors. In other words, using DNA as a roadmap to go back and forth and see a progression of small changes to produce variation over time.
Cool. All right. One more, or is that on the evolutionary news?
That was all basically evolutionary news.
All right.
So they have found how to reverse cell division for the first time, but that's a whole other area of biology.
Wait, you can make me young? You can make me younger? Is that what you're saying?
No. But at the same time, it may have important ramifications for birth defects, treatment of cancer, and number of other diseases. For example, cancer, one of the issues with it is rapid cell division.
Right.
And so if you can reverse the process, then you can halt the progression of cancer.
All right. Thank you, Mr. Elam, Mr. Cleveland, Mr. Meyer. I appreciate all you geeks being here, and stay with us, because now we have Timothy P. Marshall, the president and CEO of MC Squared Computers, Inc. Timothy has been an independent Apple computer specialist for over 30 years, dating way back to the Apple II. Now, 30 years, over 30 years, I mean, Apple's been around this month for 30 years, so you've been there since the beginning. Timothy his company, MC Squared, has been operational as a brick-and-mortar storefront since 1994 and is currently located on Soquel Drive in Soquel. They are an Apple and Windows authorized service establishment and an Apple authorized sales center. And welcome, Timothy, to GeekSpeak.
Thank you very much. It's a pleasure to be here.
Right on. All right, Timothy.
I heard a lot of Apple there.
Yeah,
I did too. Did you work with Apple at all in all this history with Apple?
No, I've been an independent
aficionado
since the early days. You know, started with the Apple II in the living room and my first professional opportunity was with the computer center that used to be in the Galleria downtown.
Oh, right. Apple has done these things of like opening their storefronts up, and small shops for a while like weren't able to sell Apple equipment, and then they're able to do it again. What's the status at this point? Is Apple being nice to its retailers like yourself?
Yeah, that's a great question.
Let's go ahead and get that mic a little close. Go ahead and get a little closer to the mic.
Okay.
Yeah.
I think it's complicated. From my perspective, the computer industry, specifically the manufacturers, they're basically in the business to produce a product that they can sell and keep evolving into the future.
Mm-hmm.
So they've partly been forced to do what they've had to do, and partly had to make choices because of the way in which the internet and e-commerce has affected the business marketplace.
In what way? Meaning that storefronts don't do so well because you can buy everything online for cheap?
Exactly, yeah. So the as far as the product availability and pricing goes, the internet is the fastest and easiest place to get that information, and what's happened for us retailers is that unless somebody needs to or specifically wants to support a local establishment, anything and everything's available online now. Mm-hmm. And so, in essence, from a business standpoint, Apple's become one of my competitors.
Yeah, exactly.
And so, how it's evolved over the years is, the last time I checked, it's really hard to get your computer fixed online.
Yeah.
So we, meaning MC Squared, tolerate the fact that Apple is one of our competitors on the retail side of the equation, but we help each other out and work together as far as the service side of the equation.
All right. That makes sense.
Yeah. Basically, for me, the bottom line is the retail side of my equation is my advertising.
I remember years ago, I think you were at a different location, like the Capitola-Soquel intersection. Were you over there? Is that your storefront? No, wrong store. I'm so sorry. Yeah. In any case, every once in a while, I'll be kind of pressed for time and want to buy something and don't really want to wait for an online sale.
Yeah.
And that's another time where your business comes into play. How much stock, how much investment in stock do you currently hold at your storefront?
It's a great point. Well, I kind of see ourselves as a, what's the word I'm looking for there? Convenience store.
Yeah.
Computer convenience store. If you need it fast, and we stock basically everything that's needed for the basics.
Yeah.
Nothing fancy, nothing outrageous, but you can come in and you can get it right away.
Well, do you stock full systems?
No.
Okay.
We do not.
Yeah. So full systems, it wouldn't be
cost. Oh, so you don't actually build systems that people can come in and just...
On the PC side of the equation, we do build custom systems. But on Mac systems...
You really can't do that on the Mac side, right?
No.
Yeah, there's no such thing as a custom except for choosing like what kind of hard drive you want. But,
exactly. Yeah.
On the Windows side, mm-hmm. do you stock full systems or do you just do it per people's request?
Basically, on the Windows side, it's build the system you want. And
it's customized.
Yeah, it's high-end stuff designed for gamers or high-end users.
Now, are you doing, special cases, cooling?
Yes, liquid cooling.
You know, lights and really all do all that, huh? Well, we should talk about specific things you recommend. I'd like to get into that.
Okay.
A little later.
We'll get into it now.
So
Sean builds systems for everybody he knows. He's always making systems mm-hmm. and spreading them out. He works, I don't know if you caught the top of the hour, he works for NVIDIA and is currently the motherboard kind of expert there.
Uh-huh.
Well.
Yeah, I used to do product reviews and that sort of thing, and I always had a problem selling that stuff on eBay. Mm-hmm. You know, that I would just give it away. I feel better that way. But what I want to know is water cooling systems, do you see people adopting that? Do they feel comfortable with it? Did you feel comfortable building a water-cooled system? And we're talking about, you know, the water cooling is attached to the CPU, could be attached to memory, and your graphics cards. And, I mean, you're actually pumping water through your system. Did you feel, mm-hmm. how confident were you about doing this and actually selling a system to an end user? And
I think where you're headed with this is, like, everybody knows electricity and water don't go well together.
Yeah, right.
And the first few systems we built, there were problems. You know, what's that puddle?
A little bit of leak.
And but it seems the technology, just like other technologies, once the problems are worked out, it's pretty rock solid.
It seems pretty good now.
You know, it's interesting. I'm
hearing more and more about it. Yeah.
I kind of like the idea of people that really want a high end gaming system, really want a high end machine.
Mm-hmm.
To go to a local store to have it built, because right now, Sean, when you build those systems for friends and stuff, there's something breaks and then they call you, and it's kind of a process, you know.
Yeah.
And it's especially when you're kind of on the bleeding edge, you're dealing with most recent drivers, you got to update things, sometimes things break, and especially when you're dealing with something like water cooling, you get a leak and you bought the system online, you're kind of stuck. So I like the idea of a storefront from that perspective. The other things that I see that people kind of desire is that, you know, that go-to place that they just, you know, so my machine doesn't seem to be running as fast as it used to run. Kind of like mm-hmm. a maintenance, kind of a general maintenance thing. Do you do that kind of thing?
Absolutely. And I think this is sort of either a misnomer or a misunderstanding by most end users. Computers are not like modern cars. I have a friend who just bought a new Lexus SUV, and he said, "Hey, Timothy, guess when I got to bring this in for service?" I said, "I don't know, about 60,000 or so?" He said, "No, 109,000 is the first time that I have to bring this car in for routine maintenance, 109,000 miles.
Besides oil changes, things of that nature.
Yeah, yeah. Correct. And so computers aren't like that.
You need to do it every 129 minutes, right?
they need periodic maintenance, either by someone who knows what they're doing or by a professional. And the reason for that is the problems can become layered. Something simple can go wrong with the software, with the hardware, and create some corruption on the hard drive. And then from that point on, it's not linear, it's exponential in terms of what can develop.
So do you recommend that someone, a non-geek, has a new Windows machine or something, and taking it in like monthly or something, or having come to an agreement like that, or is it?
I think my recommendation would be a yearly service by a professional to go through it A to Z, top to bottom. And then a lot of what we do, especially on the PC side, is put in utilities and train the customers how to use them.
Newest spyware detection, newest antivirus.
So that they can do these little simple things on a monthly basis on their own and really reduce their liability for a hard crash.
Well, that means a little bit of training as well. Do you guys do training workshops?
No, we don't. It's mostly on an end user basis.
So you get a customer in, they brought a machine in, it's like it's running slow. You take a look at it, you try to figure out what's going on. Oh, they installed it. There's some virus thing on here or some spyware. And you clean that off, and then you say, okay, this is what happened to your machine, and here's how you deal with this regularly. That's kind of what you do?
Pretty much a one-on-one, hands-on approach. And
One of the things, I think this is probably less so on a Mac. They seem to have that kind of, probably because there's not as many choices on the hardware. Apple seems to be kind of on top to some degree of this, and there's just not as much spyware or viruses on the Mac. But my mother, for example, lives way out of town, and when she has computer problems, I just go, when you come down, will you bring your computer? Because I just don't want to deal with it on the phone, and of course it's out of my range to go out there. But that's even kind of a little intimidating for people, non-geeks, to take apart their computer and bring it down, and they'll show up with the monitor as well, and you're like, oh, you didn't have to bring the monitor. So do you do on-site stuff?
Absolutely, and I think that's a developing sector of my business. More and more people are doing exactly what you're saying, Lyle, is like, you know what, I don't want to deal with it. I don't want to have to wait 3 or 4 days for the queue in the shop for my turn to come up. They'll call in, and we will set up an appointment and send a tech out and take care of it on the spot.
And is this expensive? Are you doing an hourly thing, like a minimum hour kind of thing?
We're not
supposed to really talk about prices because we're a non-commercial station. But
it's more expensive than in the shop, but if you factor in the wait time and the personal time involved.
That's the convenience.
It's
you can troubleshoot more, not just the computer, but maybe the network.
The power. Yeah,
exactly. If it's a power issue or a DSL issue or a modem issue or a networking issue, it's got to be done on site.
Right.
Do you sell like an insurance policy for overtime? Somebody, pay some money up front and get covered for the next 300 days, whatever happens?
I've kind of stayed away from the service contract side of the equation only because I think it kind of takes away from our on-site service. And a lot of times, with a little bit of education, people really don't need the monthly maintenance contract.
So you do Apple sales, PC sales in general, Windows. Do you do Linux installs for people?
No, we don't.
Okay. So now, Windows and Apple.
What about hardware components?
Like upgrading machine.
Can you go in and buy a DVD player from you, a DVD burner?
Uh-huh.
Okay.
Yeah.
And then you also do service at site and on location.
That's correct.
So that's the full gambit of MC Squared, and you're located in SoCal. We're going to invite people to call in and ask us all questions, and we'll all help you. But if you've got any questions for the owner and operator of MC Squared, Timothy Marshall, now's the time. I'll give you those numbers in just a second, so get your pencils ready. GeekSpeak is supported by Business with Pleasure, a full-service business center in Felton, offering computer rentals, printing, design, shipping, delivered office supplies, notary public, and more. Information is online at businesswithpleasure.com.
KUSP co-sponsors Keenan and Karen Ward's Wolves Running with the Pack, a film presentation from UCSC's Recreation Department. Come and enjoy this special Earth Day slideshow of wolves in their natural habitat in Alaska, Yellowstone, and other locations in North America. This show will be held on Earth Day, Saturday, April 22nd at the Rio Theater in Santa Cruz. For tickets and more information, please visit online at ucscrecreation.com or call 459-2806.
The time to ask the geeks questions is now. 476-2800, toll-free at 1-800-655-5877. Our phone answer and fellow web geek Rick Filman awaits your call with questions or comments about technology. Let's go ahead and try to fit it into computer problems today. Again, 476-2800, toll-free at 1-800-655-5877. And if your computer's running fairly well, you can go to geekspeak.org and click on Contact Us and send us email that way.
So this, Timothy, go ahead, Lyle.
I got some more. This is Central Coast Public Radio, KOSP. You're listening to Geek Speak. My name's Lyle Troxell. In the house with me is Drew Meyer, Sean Cleveland, Miles Elam, and our guest is Timothy Marshall, owner and operator of MC Squared Computers, Inc. in SoCal. You're welcome to call and ask questions. Again, I'll give you those numbers in just one more second. This program is supported by Cruise.io, providing local and nationwide internet services, including DSL 6.0, spam filters, and virus protection. Information about Cruise.io membership is available online at cruise.io.com or by calling 459-6301. And if you want to call us right now with questions or comments about technology, we await you. 476-2800, toll-free at 1-800-655-5877.
Timothy, give us a war story. Tell us something that's happened out there, or somebody brought in something that was smoking, or flames were shooting out the back, or viruses were crawling out everywhere. Got anything good?
Yeah, I think the saddest problem we've had to deal with was a gentleman who had purchased a new laptop, and brand new, like 2 days out of the box, videotaped his child's birth, and downloaded the information into the computer in order to edit it, and had a hard crash on the hard drive. And what I mean by a hard crash is the hardware in the hard drive went out, and he didn't have a backup. And we have the ability to resurrect a good portion of hard drive problems on the software side, and even on the hard drive. But this was nasty, and we ultimately sent the drive out to a specialist. And their minimum price, just to take a look at it, starts at $800 and goes up astronomically after that.
Did this gentleman pay it?
He did. He paid to have it looked at, but it was gone.
Oh.
Totally gone. And the reason I'm bringing this up is, and I'm sure you guys have all talked about it all the time, is just, and here's, I'm in the trenches every day with dealing with people with these kinds of issues.
Data loss.
Back up the data, back up the data, back up the data. It's not if. It's not if, it's when.
And it will happen at the most inappropriate time.
Murphy rules.
Yeah. Yeah, I think about all the photos I take, and if I didn't have a backup process, I would be stressed all the time because, you know, drives fail. It just happens every day. So that's the saddest kind of thing that's happened to you. What about, and that's the thing is the easy fix. It's a really simple fix. You go and you buy a, you know, $100 piece of hardware. I mean, sure, it costs a little bit of money. It's called a FireWire USB drive. Mm-hmm. And you just copy your data off to it, you know, every day. And especially things like that, you really do. I bet that gentleman is a strong proponent of backing up stuff.
He is now.
Yeah.
We
get
calls on this every week, though. And one of the challenges for most people, for consumers, is that it's an intimidating task. You got to go invest in new hardware. Maybe you need some software. Maybe you don't. How do you know what to back up? How do you know if it's working? How do you test it?
And it's so easy to put off, really.
It's not really painful until it's too late. So, well, Timothy, how do you recommend your customers solve that?
I can suggest a couple of things. The first thing is a need for a little bit of organization beyond the just throwing everything into the hard drive and hoping you can find it later.
Mm-hmm.
What I recommend is that the data that's important to you that you can't live without or wouldn't want to have to try to recreate, drop it into the documents folder.
The My Documents folder.
Yeah.
And that's the
default location on the Windows machine.
Yeah, on the Windows machine, when it says save, that's where it always tells you to save.
And that's all that's really needed to be backed up, is you the things that applications or programs create, files or also known as documents. If you get in the habit of putting everything that's vital to you in a documents folder, then it's a simple drag and drop to either an external hard drive, which again, it's not foolproof, but at least you've got a duplicate.
Yeah.
And or a media device like a optical disc. Or nowadays, with a dual-layer DVD, you can get over 8 gigabytes on a single on a single disk, and that's a lot of stuff.
Are you doing that? Do you have sell those kind of?
Yes, we do.
Because
lots
of people won't have a double layer DVD burner.
Yeah.
All right. So that's the trick, is to make sure you know where your important data is, so that when you do decide to back it up, you've got it. Because that's another frustrating thing, is it's a technical challenge to figure out what you need to back up. You don't need your entire computer system and all of that.
No.
All right. We've got some calls, and I want to start taking them right now as soon as I've plugged in the phones and everything. Let's see. We will start with Pacific Grove. Rick, welcome to GeekSpeak.
Hi.
Hi.
Hey, Rick.
Just got the flyer for one of the telephone companies, $12.99 now for a DSL. So I'm thinking about going into that route.
Do you have dial-up today, or what are you doing?
I have dial-up today. And
do you have a cell phone?
I have a cell phone.
So you're paying, what, $40 a month for dial-up, and you have a cell phone?
Yeah.
Well, there you go.
Well, the thing is, if you need it, I have to keep the landline.
Okay. Sorry.
Need to keep the landline.
Never mind.
what do I need? I want to go wireless.
First off, if you go with this phone company, DSL package, that's one option, definitely. Most of these, one of the options when you buy the DSL router is to actually have a wireless built into it.
Okay.
So when I got my package, I got a wireless hub as well, and it works great.
Uh-huh.
Timothy, do you have a suggestion for, he's in, Pacific Grove. Do you have a suggestion for local ISPs versus phone company DSL?
And the price. I mean, that price is what caught his attention.
That's probably for a year contract or maybe a 2-year contract.
It's a 1-year contract.
Yeah. 1 year.
Online. Yeah,
certainly price point is important. A lot of our clients forget the fact that their 1-year contract just expired, and 2 or 3 months down the road, they'll notice that the DSL cost has gone up another $10 or $20. So be cognizant of the fact that at the end of your contract, the price will go up unless you contact them and negotiate for their latest product. So that's important, keeping track of that. As far as wireless goes, most of the phone company vendors can supply you with a wireless router that has the modem built into it. So you don't need two pieces of hardware. You can just go wireless right from the get-go.
Mm-hmm.
The product that is offered by most companies is satisfactory. It'll do the job. The difficulty becomes what happens when it breaks. Then, if you don't have the technical skill to be able to discern whether it's your computer or it's your router, that's where someone like us can come in and help out. We can bring somebody out on site and figure it out, and we actually sell a product that can replace the routers that are offered by most of the phone companies.
Okay.
So keep that. The phone company is going to offer you a router, which is the device that connects you to the internet and gets your home network working and gives you the wireless service.
Okay.
And they'll be responsible for it if you buy it from them.
Okay.
If you go out and get your own because it has different features or you want to control your own destiny, then that's great. But you're going to be responsible for it if there's a problem.
Okay.
And you're going to have to know how to configure it correctly in the first place. Standard wireless hookup is fairly straightforward, unless you're needing encryption. In other words, you want to change your wireless network from an open network, which means anybody in the neighborhood can park in your driveway and you go through your router to the internet, or a closed or secure network, which requires a WEP or WPA encryption. That's where the little know-how comes in.
All right.
Yeah. Good luck, Rick. Thank you for the call.
All right.
I appreciate it. And if you'd like to join us with questions or comments about your computer or problems you're having in technology, we're here. Phone number is 476-2800 or toll-free at 1-800-655-5877. Let's do that again. 476-2800. That's in the 831 area code. Or toll-free in California, 1-800-655-5877. From Atascadero, let's go to Bill. Bill, welcome to GeekSpeak.
Thank you very much. I have a question for Mr. Marshall, please. I recently installed OS X in a Macintosh G4, and I want to mess around with the audio program GarageBand. Now, what I plan to do today was to try and run a regular microphone through a cassette deck into the computer. I have a cable with a mini plug on the end to go into the computer and an RCA on the other side to go into the cassette deck. My question is, will I hurt anything? Because I honestly don't know what I'm doing, and I don't know if this will even work or not.
The G4 is the G4 Tower?
Yes.
Great question.
And I've been on the web, and there's just not much audio support for this GarageBand, and which surprises me.
You won't. First off, you won't break anything by attaching a line level even to a mic input. You'll be fine.
Good. I'm glad you told me that.
Yeah, you'll be okay from that perspective. And GarageBand, to get the mic in, you're going to add an instrument, which is a real instrument, and then one of the choices for real instruments is voice. And then you got a whole bunch of filters and stuff. It's a lot of fun to play with.
I've seen that. Yeah.
Yeah. So the only question I have is that the jack in there, is it, does it label with a microphone, or is it labeled with like a...
No, actually, I found it in a box of computer stuff. There were two brand new cables in there. One of them was from Sony, and it has like a little black box on the line that said video. So I imagine one was for video, and the other one might be for audio.
Yeah, but where are you plugging it into? Is it a USB thing?
Plugging it into the cassette deck audio out. That's where that little RCA type plug is. And then on the other end of the line into the back of the computer where the little icon for a microphone is.
Okay.
A little mini plug goes in there.
So the one thing, Timothy, you want to address this? Or?
Yeah, two things. First, I would suggest getting familiar with just miking right straight into the G4 and into GarageBand so that you're assured that your mic in is working properly. So in other words, that the input side of the equation is functional.
And then I do need an amplified signal, right?
No, not on the mic in.
Oh, really? I thought it had to be either a USB mic or not at all.
What's the microphone you have?
Like a standard audio microphone that bands use and people use for public speaking.
So is it an XLR with three like a big sleeve with three pins in it, or is it a little
jack down from that? It just has the regular quarter inch RCA that plugs into a cassette deck or an amplifier.
So just get an adapter for that quarter inch to eighth inch, and then plug it right into the mic in on the computer.
Mm-hmm. And that's all that I would have to do? I don't have to go through all this other stuff?
No, you don't need a tape deck, and you just need that adapter. But there's a couple caveats to this. One is that Apple has shipped for a long time their Macintoshes with a microphone, and if you look at that little jack thing, the microphone jack is longer, and it's I think it's biasing the microphone with a voltage level.
Okay.
Now, so in any case, I think that you're just going to be fine. You're going to plug into that jack, and everything will be sweet.
I'll certainly give it a try.
I'd give that a shot, because you're not going to break anything.
I mainly wanted to call your experts to see if I would hurt anything by running through the cassette deck and all that other stuff.
No, you won't hurt anything that way either.
No.
Good. Thanks for answering that question anyway. And I'll certainly take your advice and try that little adapter from quarter inch to mini.
Great, Bill. Have a good time.
Get a good high quality adapter.
I don't think that matters, man.
Yeah, I bought a cheap one. I didn't.
You didn't like it, really?
Yeah, it was cheap. It just didn't have the connection.
So you're suggesting get a gold covered adapter, not the silver colored adapter.
I don't know about that.
I have a whole bunch of these little adapters, quarter inch to eighth inch or eighth inch to quarter inch, and I even have some things that go from like, you know, RCA to a quarter inch, and I plug those things around and I never notice a quality difference. Of course, I don't know anything about audio. I'm kind of joking because, you know, the radio thing that we do.
Yeah.
Miguel from Watsonville, welcome to Geek Speak.
Hello.
Did I surprise you? Hi, Miguel.
Hello.
Somebody spoke. Yeah. Speak again.
Yeah. Who? Miguel.
Hey, Miguel. Go ahead. You're on the air.
Yes, you're on the air, Miguel. What's up?
Oh, I have a... I live in the hills in Watsonville, and there's a cable of DSL. And I try to get to the internet using a singular bypass data transfer card, PC card. The problem is with the regular PC computer, the transfer of data is very fast, relatively fast. But with the Mac, it's very slow, similar to dial-up internet access. Is there any solution to that problem? I think it's the software program that is available for the Mac. It's not not the singular program. It's a private written software. Therefore, probably it's not the best. Do you have any... advice how to improve that internet access in the remote areas
for the Macintosh?
Yeah, for the Mac.
How are you getting your access through phone?
Well, it was, but now it's through the cell phone. with the cellular line.
That's what you said. You had a data transfer card for your cell phone.
Yeah, so he's using...
Cell phone data transfer performance is usually horrible. So you said you're getting... You said you called it decent performance on the window, on the Windows machine?
When the Windows is very good, like, let's see, like 30 megabytes compared to 3...
Not through a cell phone. We're not understanding how you're hooked up.
30 megabits.
Even that, you can't. I mean, cell phone.
It's like 9600 baud.
Yeah. Cell phone usage is miserable.
I have no idea what the data rate of cell phone is.
So you're saying that you take your cell phone and you plug an adapter to your cell phone into a computer and you're getting
the computer got a PC car access.
Okay.
To what? What's that connect to?
Yeah.
That goes to the computer.
What's on the other end of that?
That PC car has an antenna.
Oh! You're talking about wireless in your home.
No. Yeah. What's on the other end of the antenna?
That is just the way that the computer used that PC card to access the.
Okay. Do you know if this is called Wi-Fi?
No, Wi-Fi is different.
This is a cell phone PC card.
PC card.
So he's connecting to the cell tower directly?
Yes, to the cell tower, and then they transfer data in any place.
Modern ones, 144 kilobit data rate, which is about three times a dial-in, a modem connection.
So this is not through a handset, though. He's got his own card. Well, right. Have you talked to the provider who gave you the card?
They say they only have for Windows. For Mac, they have to search.
Is your Mac a laptop?
Yeah.
Okay, so you plugged into the same card type, and on that machine, it's much slower. All right, well... Yeah, this is a difficult one because you can't really share your transfer rate through the Windows to the Mac. I would say that
Google is your friend, Miguel.
I think that you're not going to find an easy answer to this by any means.
Google the model number of the card with Macintosh and see what you can find.
What you can dig up. And someone else out there is having the same problem, but they may not have said anything.
I would say enjoy your Windows access.
I don't know of a good cell solution on a Macintosh either. We've been asked about that several times and to date have not come up with anything satisfactory.
Write a letter to the cable company and tell them to extend service to your neighborhood.
That's a good option. Miguel, good luck. It sounds like you're as high tech as you can get right now, and
it must
good
be
luck.
Beautiful where you live, because that's the reward.
That's the reward. I say every time I get up to the window and see the valley with sun or the rain or sunsets is great. Therefore, it's worth to live there.
Do you have a line of sight to Loma Prieta, the mountain behind Watsonville?
Yeah, I have that. Yeah.
There are a couple of companies who offer a radio solution where you can put up a tower and get... You may want to check that out. I don't know if I can mention that online or not.
Sure, go ahead.
There's a handful of companies, right?
A local company called GOT.net, GOT.net, that offers radio solution for folks who have no other alternative. It's expensive, but it really works well.
Okay.
My dad lives in a rural area, and he has the same thing, and he's very pleased.
Thank you, Miguel, for the call. I appreciate it.
Thank you. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye. We're going to go ahead and go to Paso Robles now. Carl? Is it Carol? Carol?
Hello.
Welcome to GeekSpeak.
Hi.
What's your question?
I just wanted to see what the advantages of upgrading my RAM from a 512 to maybe a gig.
A world of benefits, Carol.
That's easy.
Okay.
RAM really depends on what you're used. What are you doing?
Mostly photo.
Wait a minute. With Photoshop or?
I have a lot of different programs.
Do you run on a lot of those at the same time?
I have a lot in my computer. I don't run them at the same time.
Are you a home user or a professional with the photos?
Just a home user.
Okay. Well, are you finding that the performance is slow right now, or are you just curious?
Well, my performance is slower than I would like. I've been told that if I upgrade it, that it would definitely make my...
Timothy, you deal with a lot of customers all the time, upgrading machines and such. Is this a good idea to move away from 512 and get more RAM?
We have a saying, RAM is your friend.
Oh, is that right?
You can't go wrong. It's so cheap right now.
Yeah.
Is there anything that you suggest to get? I mean, are there different brands to get out? Are there?
There's two brands that are good. Kingston, but Crucial is my favorite. They have a website with a selector, crucial.com.
I like Corsair.
Yeah, I like Corsair too.
So they're,
I don't know.
They're all the same. They're all made by a handful. There's maybe three companies in the world that make this stuff, and it's all the same, and it's an extremely competitive business.
Crucial's made by Micron. Yeah. Corsair, Kingston, Mushkin.
Samsung.
Timothy, when somebody comes into MC Squared and they want more RAM, do you stock it, or do you...
Yes,
what
we
do.
We stock RAM for Mac and PC.
Okay. Yeah.
So what you
basically...
Need?
If I go to crucial.com, I can just have a couple choices of...
First you want to do is open up your computer and look at the amount of memory you have now. You see if you have any open DIMM slots.
Do you have a Mac or a PC?
I have a PC.
Okay.
Yeah.
Yeah. Honestly, I would suggest if you're buying RAM, don't get it online, don't get it mail order. Go to a shop to get it. RAM is far too volatile. You'll end up with bad RAM sticks all the time. They're one of the components of a computer that is most likely to be damaged.
Now, Timothy, if somebody just brings their computer into your shop and wants to buy more memory, would you just take a look in their computer and help them make the right choice?
Well, absolutely. We do on-the-spot simple services like RAM installs or Wi-Fi card installs or PRAM battery replacements. People, you don't have to wait in the queue for that. You can just come in and get taken care of.
Right. Because if you've used all your memory slots, then you're going to need to upgrade to a whole new memory.
Typically, that's the case. Yeah. Unfortunately, the way things evolved on the RAM side of the equation, there are only so many slots, and you'd have to give up a 128 to put in a 512, for example.
Good luck, Carol. It's not rocket science, but you want to be careful, and it will help your performance.
So, is it pretty straightforward just to install it myself? If I just go out and get
it is, as long as you get the right type.
If you're not afraid to take a little chance.
There's a few things you want to do. You want to ground yourself, which means touching the chassis a lot, the metal components of the computer.
Meditate.
Don't have your computer plugged in while you do this, because it's not a good thing to do when you're dealing with electricity, even though it's relatively safe. And one of the companies that I like to go to is DataMem. .com, I think that's .com, but if you're a geek enough to crack open your machine and throw RAM in, you can definitely buy it online. But Miles' comment about buying RAM online is, if it's broken, it might be really difficult to return it, and it's pretty much a loss.
Yeah.
One other question regarding my C drive. I've got 15 gigabytes. It's usually almost to the max at all times, and I try to put some things in my D drive. Would it be best to... is that going to have any difference my speed?
When you say you're running out of space, 15 gigs seems like quite a bit of extra, but if you're running, I guess, Photoshop, it can have a pretty good cache.
As the hard drive gets full, it's going to slow down. The hard drive is a lot faster if it's half full or...
Yeah.
You might want to take this whole box into a shop.
Our recommendation is 10% free space on a hard drive.
Yeah, you don't need half.
Yeah, 10% free space.
Well, as that drive gets bigger and bigger,
one thing you can do,
full,
if you're dealing with Photoshop or any other application where you can change where its cache is, its direct cache, you can put Photoshop in the preferences, set its disk cache to be the D drive, and that is actually better because then the operating system is using one drive, and assuming you actually have two drives and not just a partition, and then the Photoshop is using a second drive, it can actually make photo editing a lot faster. More RAM space on your hard drive is always a good thing.
Carol, do you know what kind of processor you have in your computer?
Pentium. It's 4 CPU.
It's a Pentium 4. Okay.
Yeah, Pentium 4.
Then you'll need DDR2 memory.
Write that down. Dynamic.
DDR2.
Yes, correct.
All right.
RAM.
Good luck, Carol.
Thank you very much.
Thanks for the call.
Mm-hmm, bye.
All right, and we're going to take a call from Watsonville. Judith, welcome to GeekSpeak.
Hi, yeah. I just had what worked for me to use GarageBand with an external microphone.
Oh, and cool. In regards to the call we just had?
I just thought I'd share. I got something called iMic, capital M-I-C, and it's an input. It goes to a USB port, and you can use a microphone that doesn't have a power supply, it's an apparatus or that you plug in your microphone into and then plug it into the computer, and it has a little software thing that goes in with it.
Mm-hmm. Yes, and we actually sell
that. It was very easy to use, and it also says it has really great, for listening out of the computer. So it has a thing you can either have it as an input or an output to speakers from your computer.
Thank you very much for the recommendation.
Yeah.
Was there? Wait, did you have a question too, or is that?
No, I just wanted to share. I thought if that, you know, if he has trouble with getting whatever to work,
I have a friend that's doing a lot of. I have a friend that's taking a lot of audio off of tapes and even records. He wants to get on this computer, and the iMac's what he's using. It's got some great capture software. It's a good little product. And you sell those, Timothy?
The iMic, yes, we do.
Cool.
Yeah.
Thank you very much for the recommendation, Judith.
Okay.
We're going to take one more call, and that is going to be from Boulder Creek. Marnie, welcome.
Hi, my name is Marnie, and we just moved from Santa Cruz up to Boulder Creek, and our DSL speed has gone way down.
Oh, yeah.
Yep.
Okay, then. So I'm not the only one.
No, I'm with you.
So we're thinking of moving over to the Comcast. Is that...
It'll be faster.
I'm a Comcast subscriber.
Indeed.
And it works pretty well.
Indeed.
It depends on if your neighbors have television, if they watch a lot, and if they have computers. But, yeah, it's going to work better than your DSL.
Okay.
How far up in Boulder Creek are you?
We're right on Highway 9 between Boulder Creek and Brookdale.
That's where I am.
Like, at the end of the
you
line.
You can blame Sean for your poor performance.
Actually, Sean's at the end of the line.
I am not on Comcast cable.
Oh, right.
I'm on DSL. What's nice about DSL is we're guaranteed bandwidth.
Yeah.
Where cable, if somebody's downloading next door, that will affect your bandwidth.
So it'll be intermittent slowdown, but not as bad.
Depending on how other people are using the connection.
I also, you're closer to Boulder Creek than Sean is. Sean, are you getting your feed from Ben Lomond? No, you're getting it from Boulder Creek, right?
I get it from Boulder Creek.
So your speeds aren't that bad, actually.
Compared to down here, yeah, they're pretty bad.
Yeah.
It's a huge difference.
Well, first off, there could be other problems outside of your location from your carrier. It could be that your house has bad wiring as well.
No. Actually, I tried to upgrade my service about 6 months ago. I cut my price by a third, and they were supposed to double my performance. And I was so excited. And then they called and said, oh, we're sorry. We can't do that because of where you live and the type of lines that are going to your house.
Oh.
So it's because of where we're at.
Yeah, we have all new phone wires in our house, but from our house to wherever,
you got
who
it.
Knows how old that stuff is.
Yeah, it's not fire. Well, yeah. I would be surprised if it's high-end fiber optic. I doubt it. Yeah, it's not.
And it goes down a lot, you know? Trees fall on it and stuff.
That happens, yes.
Especially with the amount of rain we've been having lately.
Yeah.
If you do switch over to cable, let us know how it goes.
Okay.
Actually, I would like to know, yeah, because I think about it often, too.
Okay, I'll email you guys.
Marnie, thank you very much for the call.
Thanks a lot. Bye-bye.
All right. Today's guest was Timothy Marshall. He's the owner and operator of MC Squared Computers, Inc. in SoCal. They do walk-in and on-site fixing of Macintosh and Windows machines. He sells parts. Probably a really great go-to place.
I'm going to check it out for sure.
Definitely. The Geeks This Morning, that was Sean Cleveland. We also had Miles Elam and Drew Meyer. And on the phone was Rick Philman answering every week. Thank you so much. And to those that called in and to listen, thank you so much for making GeekSpeak what it is. Without you, it would just be us geeking out, and who wants to listen to that? GeekSpeak is a registered service mark of Online Tonight with David Lawrence and is used by permission. This program is supported by a grant from Santa Cruz Electronics, offering an extensive selection of computer and electronic parts, as well as support services. Santa Cruz Electronics is open daily at 2808 SoCal Avenue and online at santacruzelectronics.com. And I guess we've got a little bit more time. So, Drew, you seem to want to say something.
I was going to wish everybody good luck getting their taxes done. I'm going to go home and sit in front of my computer.
You can file for a delay, right?
For Intuit, because they save me more often than I mean, I like their products, and they do a good job for me. So,
and let's
unbiased free plug for Intuit.
Let's all go ahead and conclude also with a back up your hard drive warning.
Yeah, right. Especially your tax data.
Yeah.
Yeah, the IRS doesn't care about your
no whining or... about that hard drive crash.
If you've got a DVD burner or a CD burner, you can do backups pretty easily. Most likely the software that runs that came with it.
And on that note, we have a show in our archives about DVD archive.
That's right.
Coincidentally enough.
And, you know, speaking of archives, KOSP.org is growing to provide you with better access to all our great programming. Podcasts and online demand audio archives are available for GeekSpeak, Utopia, and much more. Plus, new shows are being added all the time. Just go to KOSP.org for instruction and to subscribe. Coming up in a little bit is Castle Cottage. And this is Central Coast Public Radio, KOSP Santa Cruz, KBDH San Otto, on the web at kosp.org. For KOSP and GeekSpeak, I'm Lyle Troxell.